Well, I've been enjoying just continuing thinking of movement and how we can move spiritually in our lives and all of the wonderful natural stories that give us principles about movement, such as picking up and boxing up and deciding what you're going to keep for this next part of your journey. Mark and Barbara, I'm sure you will have to make decisions. This served me well while I was here, but do I want to carry it where I'm going? This piece is precious to me. It means something. I haven't used it in a while, but I'll never get rid of it. You're making decisions about what is important and what you're going to keep and what you can box up and send to Goodwill or to the dumpster. And all of us are continually doing that, really spiritually. We're moving, and you're forced to deal with things. Are they important? Do you want to give them to someone else for where they are right now? Probably some of that. This young couple could use that. It blessed us in this season. You probably don't have any baby stuff in your house now, but you may collect some later. And so we just talked about movement and God's movement in our lives. One scripture from Jeremiah, the prophecy against Moab. And the Lord said, you're like wine that hasn't been moved or poured from one vessel to another. He said, you're still sitting on your dregs. And he said, your flavor and your aroma remain unchanged, because you have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. You haven't moved. You haven't gone anywhere and done anything. You're just there. And all of that stuff at the bottom of your life is what's affecting your flavor and your aroma. Really graphic picture, isn't it? And then the one from 1 Corinthians last week where Paul talked about laying a foundation, the things you want to keep, the things you'll never get rid of. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there are things that we want to keep and things that from time to time we get rid of. I'm going to read quickly from Hebrews 12 and just make a couple of points, and then we'll move to our baptism. I hope you will read these scriptures yourself and bring and get your own ideas and points. Get your own revelations and insights from Scripture. Don't just depend on what I give you. Those scriptures are so full. And we're hoping that each of you will dig them and mine them for yourself. It's wonderful for God to say something to you. And it becomes yours. There's something about insight and revelation when it comes. It's yours. It's like, it's yours. No man can take it away. And I encourage you to mine the scriptures yourself. Hebrews chapter 12 is following chapter 11. That's no great insight. What I like to call the Hebrews Hall of Fame. Many named, many unnamed of powerful Old Testament heroes. Just quickly from chapter 11. People who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others, everybody say others, were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging. Still others were chained and put in prison, stoned, sawn in two, put to death by the sword, went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. That's interesting, isn't it? Therefore, since we are surrounded, Hebrews 12:1, by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, or we could say, get rid of, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Just quickly, another graphic picture, isn't it? Most of you know that track athletes wear the least clothing of anybody. Almost embarrassingly little. Because they don't want anything getting in their way. If they can shave a tenth of a second of a point by changing their shoes or taking off their socks or getting a different type of material that's less wind resistant, anything, they throw it off to run their race. Another very graphic picture of what's important for your race. I just want to say that the writer's implying that those who have run before us are connected. We're all connected. There's really only one race, the race of faith or the race of life, and yet everybody's is different. It's not just different individually. Everybody in this room has a different course, a different task, a different gift to run or to obey God. Everybody can't play the penny whistle and the flute. Did you enjoy that this morning? Isn't that great? Thank you, Bobby. All these talented people, the ones you hate, but you want to be like them, you know. They can do anything. I had a guy in school, all of you had one of those. He could do anything. You might ask him, can you play the piano? He said, I don't know, I hadn't tried. But he's painting a picture, really, kind of a generational relay. A generational relay where people have run before us, and now he's saying you're surrounded by all these people who are now spectators or eternally involved in watching you. And he says, therefore, run your race, the one marked out for you. So I just want to suggest not just an individual but a generational thing in light of our baptism. We have four generations here for Annie this morning. Four. I can't help but be reminded of Paul's letter to Timothy. He got involved with Timothy's life. Why? Because he saw something in his grandmother. Yeah. That's 2 Timothy. He said, I know the faith that's in your mother and your grandmother, and I'm convinced it's in you as well. Come with me. We're going places. Got a race for you to run. But I just want to suggest some things real quickly when we talk about keeping and giving, keeping and getting rid of. Hardly any of the particulars in Hebrews 11 are particular to us. None of them really. Has anybody put a foreign army to rout? Anybody been sawn in two? Anybody received your child back from resurrection from the dead? Anybody lived in a cave? None of the particulars of this people that's honored in Scripture are particular to us. None of them. Because it's not our race. They ran theirs, you got yours. You see what I'm saying? And yet, they're giving us something that's important. We're called to imitate their faith. Not their race, but their faith. And following Jesus, Sometimes there's the pressure that we should recreate or reenact the first century dynamics of the early church. I'm for miracles, but I didn't live then. I live now. I live now. And none of their particulars were particular to me. Some of them are similar. Nicole's story of the man at the bottom of the stairs is kind of like Peter and John and the guy at the pool of Bethesda. Been sitting there for, what did we say last week? 28 years maybe? Sitting, waiting for what? Waiting for a person to come along and help him get in the water when the angel stirred it. And he said, somebody always beats me to it because I can't walk. I'm lame. I see the water stirred. Everybody's happy. And the first one in gets healed. And he said, I can't make it. Peter and John touched him, changed his life. But our races differ individually and I think generationally. And so I just want to set a theme this morning, particularly as we baptize a child. And keeping in mind, what do we want to give? What do we want to keep and give to Annie or this generation that she represents when it could be that our races will be entirely different? I know there's a lot of talk about people being afraid for the next generation. Listen, no fear. Everybody say, no fear. You bring those children into this world and you change it. You're not afraid. Right?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's important that we don't give them things that are not necessary for their race. That we don't burden them with unnecessary things. It's interesting in the New Testament when the Gentiles started coming into the church in the book of Acts in chapter 15, 16. There was a huge debate, and what was the debate? What do we keep? What do we discard? That was the first church conference debate. And they had to travel to Jerusalem, and they had a meeting. They had a hotly contested meeting. They had people on both sides of the issue. The issue was, all of these Gentiles are coming into the kingdom. What are we going to make them do to get all the way in? Oh, and you know what the word is used when they finally settle the issue? When they finally settle the issue, from Acts 15, they said this, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with things that are unnecessary. You just get out there and run your race. And you know what they gave them? They said, honor marriage and abstain from sexual immorality and watch your dietary things in front of all these Jews who've been taught a certain way all these years. You can go now. That's all? That's all? I said, is that all? You can go home now and love God. The Holy Spirit's going to be enough. He's going to help you. We're going to send you some teachers, teach you about this loving father that's now yours, but just abstain from sexual immorality and pay attention to your Jewish neighbors and your dietary issues. In other words, don't offend if you can help it. Isn't that crazy? We don't want to burden you with stuff that maybe we had, but for where we're going now, you won't need it. I hate to think what I might have burdened people with through the years that they just really don't need. How much, Pastor Jerry, if we given people that really wasn't useful, maybe useful to us in a season, but not to them. In that famous funny little movie series with Michael J. Fox called Back to the Future, Doc Brown takes his flying DeLorean And he says, Marty. And Marty says, Doc, what about the roads? He says, Marty, where we're going, we don't need roads. Where we're going, we don't need roads. What a prophetic statement. In many ways, not just flying cars, but where are we going and what will we need? Those are really the issues. Where is the next generation going and what will they need? What are the things they can't do without? And what are the things that maybe we can help get off of them that might burden them for their race? What will Lindsay need in D.C. over the next 20, 30 years? Don't know. She'll need the Holy Spirit in full measure. She'll need wisdom and insight. She'll need faith. She'll need courage and perseverance. Well, you find your own things out of this passage, but first of all, let's get rid of the things in our own life that are not necessary. He says, and there are two categories, he says, including the sin. So there's stuff and there's sin. Both of them entangle, both of them weigh you down and get in the way. So everybody say stuff and sin. Stuff and sin. They both entangle, they both get in the way. They're not necessary. Secondly, don't burden others with unnecessary things, especially the next generation. Thirdly, keep the things that we must keep. Faith, faithful endurance. The admonition here is run with endurance, the race marked out for you. Faith, faithful endurance, and I'm just going to say joy. Quoted it this morning as we closed our worship time. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he ran his race. He endured the cross. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was difficult. But there was joy motivating him because he knew where he was going. And that it would result in a place, restored place with the Father where he was created to be. So get rid of those things in your life. Don't add extras to other people. This is helpful to me. It's funny because in my teaching with Dean last month, part of our lesson was from 1 and 2 Timothy. Equipping these pastors out of Timothy, a wonderful book. And I read Timothy a lot as a young pastor. And I always read it from Timothy's perspective, Mark. But you know what happened to me recently? I started reading it from Paul's perspective. What am I going to leave? What should I leave? From Timothy's perspective, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What am I going to achieve? Paul's over here thinking, what am I becoming? And what can I leave? It's necessary. See? So I just found that in myself, the different perspective of suddenly I'm thinking about not what I can do and achieve and accomplish but or accumulate, but what can I leave? The next generation especially. So I've thought through these things. I hope you will. I think it's a great day to celebrate movement in our lives, having so many wonderful testimonies over the last few weeks of people just getting up and moving a little bit out of their comfort zone. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. So let's just take this to heart and ask the Lord to write it on our hearts. And you look for your insights and you share them. Bring them and share them. As you start moving, as you start realizing things you can do without, or things that maybe are more precious to you that you will never depart from. See? We all have stories like that. I could go on and on. I have, now that I have grandchildren, I have lots of stories. Lots of funny stories. I think I told y'all one time that my grandfather died at 96. A wonderful man, loved him. His name was Gramps. And now I have grandchildren, so this would be my grandchildren's great-great-grandfather. It's a lot. That's enough to start seeing past and future, isn't it, Ben? That's four, four or five generations there, but my grandfather smoked a pipe. I wanted it. And out of all the 21 grandchildren, I got the pipe and put it in a little box. And then when Jacob was born, that's my oldest grandson, he's now 20. When he was about, 9 or 10, I put a little box of things that I thought were really precious that we would never get rid of. One of them was Gramps' pipe. I said, this is your great, great grandfather's pipe. It's a treasure. Take care of it. So I pull up to see him one day there in South Haven. He's out riding his bike. He's got the pipe in his mouth. His daddy said every time they get together for family games, he runs and gets his pipe and comes back and puts it in his mouth. But what a treasure we all have. What treasures you are with God's deposit inside of you just need to be given away, shared. Okay. Well, let's stand and we'll let Jack go prepare for baptism and we'll get the Sunday school kids down to join us. There's Annie. Going to get Annie ready. I think about, too, go ahead, Jack. who referenced, Paul, Mark did, Paul in jail, Paul and Silas, wasn't it? In jail. And that was when the wall shook and the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, and Paul stopped him, shared the gospel with him. The Bible says he and his household were saved and baptized that very night. And so you see in a whole family, it doesn't tell us how many children or who they were, but you see God coming to a family, and that's what we're doing here today. I'm not going to burden you with what I think about people being baptized at what age. I'm not going to burden you with that. I'm just going to celebrate families and generations knowing Jesus Christ and depositing in them the things that are necessary to walk out their faith.